Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to the CMI School of Christ. And we're going to go ahead and continue with our class, The Great Mercy of God. And just for this class, we're going to continue with where we've been last week with just the passage of Matthew 11:25. And we'll just go ahead and take a look at that real quick. I want to go ahead and just to get a little bit of a context of the passage. Matthew 20. I want to go ahead and read from Matthew 20 through I guess you could say 30. All right. Matthew 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Excuse me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And just with verse 25, this is Jesus thanking his Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because he has hid these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babes. Now, I've looked at different commentators, and they say that babes could be just children in general, or his very disciples. He could be speaking of his own disciples as babes. And either way, I think it just goes across the board for all. In this respect, that in the previous verses, Matthew verse 20 up to about 24, the whole thing that's going on is that Jesus came, did mighty works, and declared the gospel, the good news of God, but they repented not. And listen to this. For all their, because you look at it, verse 25, the way he said, for all their wisdom, for all their prudence, for all the wisdom below of the world, for all the prudence below of the world, it could not bring unto repentance. For all that wisdom and that prudence found in the world, the wisdom of man, the prudence of man, yet it could not bring unto repentance. That's the whole issue right there. Unlike these, the children, whom the Lord speaks, in verse 25, and hast revealed them unto babes, who, to whatever degree, had come by way of repentance, had repented. And once again, I will use the definition for repentance. This is repentance. It is not, forgive me for this, forgive me for that, I'll never do this, I'll never do that. That's not repentance. Repentance is when the heart turns unto the Lord. That is true repentance. So for all man's wisdom governing, for all man's prudence governing, it still could not bring him unto repentance. Whereas these that are babes, to whatever degree, they had come. And unto these the Lord reveals. Okay, can you see the order of it? True repentance is when the heart turns unto the Lord. True repentance is a miracle of God. No man can turn his heart to the Lord. No, that's like saying that any man can decide whenever he wants to be born again. No, that's impossible. It's impossible with man. It's like saying, like if any man could decide when he would receive salvation. No, that is impossible with man. It is a miracle of God. The Holy Spirit has been continually preparing the ground of the heart of all, that the heart would turn, would repent by the work of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit bringing the heart from unto the Lord Himself. Therein is repentance. We know that the Apostle Paul addressed it, I think it was like 2 Corinthians chapter 3, when the heart turns unto the Lord, nevertheless, whenever it shall turn unto the Lord, the veil shall be removed, and the glory of God is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Christ Himself appears. Now, for the one who's not born again, when the heart finally repents by the work of the Holy Spirit, when the person finally repents and his heart turns unto the Lord, Christ appears, literally appears in that soul where he was not before. From that moment onward, the work of the Spirit continues just the same. It's no different. Yet this time, it is so that the heart can once again repent, turn unto the Lord. But now it is the second, to now behold Him who is present. The first repentance is so that Christ Himself, the Son of God, may be present in the soul. The second repentance is so that the soul, the heart, the soul may come to know Him who is present. And once again, that knowing is not the knowing of man. It is God the Father revealing His knowing in that heart, in that soul. Because God the Father, listen to this, knows the truth, who Christ is. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God the Father knows the Son. We read it. Where is it? I'll find it. Give me just a second. Here, verse 27, where Jesus says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. The Father knows the Son. Therefore, in the heart of the born-again believer, in the one in whom Christ is present in the soul, when the heart turns unto the Lord, when there is a true repentance, God the Father reveals His knowing unto the heart, unto the soul. And His knowing is His Son who is present in the soul. It's beautiful just the way it all goes in order here. It is repentance unto the Lord. Repentance, turning unto the Lord. Okay? So they're all in their wisdom, in their prudence, the wisdom of man, the prudence of man, they cannot come unto repentance. That which is below remains below. That which is above continues above. All right. And just continuing on with this class from our couple of previous classes, I'm just trying to show the difference between worldly wisdom, the wisdom of man, the knowledge of man, the understanding of man, the wisdom below, the knowledge below, the understanding that is found below, basic calculations that we can do with our natural mind, the natural wisdom, all of that versus the wisdom of God. The wisdom of the world versus the wisdom of God. All right, I've got a verse here that I'd like to read. Excuse me. Oh, it didn't keep my spot. Let's see. Proverbs. I want us to look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. I love that, length of days. Length of days, and just the evening and the morning were the first day when the light dawns for the day. Length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tablet, upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Verse 5, and we all have heard this verse. Trust in the Lord and lean not unto thine own understanding, the understanding below, the natural understanding, the understanding of man. Remember, we started looking at this from the passage of Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6, especially verse 2 and verse 3, where here is Abram, who has continued to some degree in the appearing of the Lord. He has continued serving the purpose of the Lord in his generation, beholding the one who is present in the land. He has heard from God, he has seen the Lord, and he continues in just in the same. And yet, to whatever degree, he still leans, is supported to whatever degree by his own understanding, his own wisdom, his own knowledge, because he knows that the whole purpose of God revolves around a seed and an inheritance for that seed. And so Abram takes a quick look around. He assesses the situation. He sees by the natural eye and makes an assessment of the natural situation. He considers the whole issue and then basically speaks to the Lord and says this, Eliezer, my chief, the steward of my house, the chief servant, he is the heir. Because of the custom of the ages, of those times, during Abram's time, if there was no natural born son of the father, then the chief servant received the inheritance of the father. So Abram, taking into account all these things, calculating by the natural mind, says this, Eliezer is the seed. Eliezer is the to receive the inheritance. He's the inheritor. And the Lord, so merciful, declares reality. No. Not but. And he declares a little more clearly concerning the seed. And very clearly, because this is what the Lord does. See, It's not so much to be governed by the understanding of the Lord. No, that is an automatic of continuing in purpose. So the Lord once again brings his heart out from, he brought him forth abroad. He says, lift up now thine eyes, look unto the heavens, and behold, count the stars, see if you can count them, if you can number them. See if you can measure this great increase, so shall the seed be. And he saw the resurrection. He saw Christ. He saw the glorified seed. And he believed the Lord. Okay? But up until that time, he still leaned upon his own understanding, the understanding below, the understanding of man. Proverbs, once again, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I love that. With all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Don't consider yourself according to the wisdom of this world. Don't reckon yourself wise according to the wisdom of this world. I love that. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. And I know that when I was first born again, that verse was taken and just presented unto me and said basically this, hey, just trust in the Lord. If you need this, just trust in the Lord and don't try to figure it out. Just don't try to lean on your own understanding. Just trust in the Lord and he'll provide it. Well, it was the wrong application because the object was incorrect. That was the object of man, which it's not singular but plural, objects. Because after I trust in the Lord for this, now I trust in the Lord for this, and now I trust in the Lord for this. Do you see what I mean? That is below of man. But to trust in the Lord with all the heart and to lean on our own understanding is to trust him. Put it this way, to bring about that which he desires to bring about. Okay, now, he's already done that in the cross. We have entered into that at the moment of new birth. And now, he desires to show what he hath brought about. He desires to show his very own Son. He desires to reveal his very own knowledge. He desires to reveal his very own wisdom. His very own understanding, the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is time and time and time again. This brings the heart. This trusting in the Lord, leaning upon the Lord, brings the heart unto true repentance by the work of the Spirit. Okay. Another passage which... What I'll do, I'll just read a couple of excerpts, but really you could read the whole two chapters. It's 1 Corinthians, you could read all chapter 1, but I'll start with verse 20, and I'll just read to verse 31. Now, here Paul is addressing the Corinthians, and several different commentators agree with the same. He's addressing the Corinthians because they are leaning upon their own understanding, the understanding of man. They're leaning upon their own wisdom, the wisdom of man. And once again, the wisdom of man is ignorance, is vanity, is foolishness, compared to Christ, who is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of man cannot attain unto the wisdom of God. It is either one or the other. And here the Corinthians, though they are born again, though Christ is present in their souls, they are leaning upon their own natural wisdom, the wisdom below, the wisdom of man, the wisdom, the natural wisdom. And therefore, they are ignorant of God's wisdom, who Christ is. They're wise in their own eyes. Therefore, they are not coming unto the end, unto the purpose for which God created their soul. Their hearts are not repenting. Their hearts are not turning unto the Lord. Okay. Verse 20. Where is the wise? Oh, and so here's Paul. So, sorry, I gotta give a little bit of an introduction on this. Here's Paul speaking to those who are esteeming themselves wise in the natural, wise in the world, wise in that which is below, the wisdom of man, and yet still ignorant of the wisdom of God. Versus being ignorant and babes concerning that which is the wisdom of the world, that they may grow and be not a child, but a son. And all a son is one who has the knowledge of the Son governing. Not I, but Christ. Because he goes on later on. He says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I became a man, I put that which is of the child away. I saw that the child was put away. Therefore, the man remains. Christ himself. Not I, but Christ. There's the true understanding of a son of God. All right? So, right here, he's addressing them because they are walking in the wisdom of the world, and therefore they think themselves wise. They consider things and they say, that's Christ, that's not Christ. Right? Abram, come on, think about it. Abram, Lord, this one is the heir, this one is the seed. Based on natural assessment of the situation. Based on wisdom below. Based on trusting, leaning upon one's own understanding, the understanding of man, the understanding below. Completely unrighteous judgment. So here's Paul. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is this disputer of this world below? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Yes, in truth it is. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom, the world by its wisdom, knew not God and cannot know God and can never know God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. God revealing his wisdom in the heart, in the soul that is turned, reveals his Son. Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, nor many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, God hath chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You see, there's no room for boasting in man. Man cannot boast in man's wisdom if he is truly knowing the one who's present. Because if he is truly knowing the one who's present, then it's not his knowledge. It's not man's knowledge, but it is the knowledge of God being revealed in the heart, in the soul. It is the wisdom of God being revealed in the heart, in the soul. It is the understanding of God being revealed in the heart and in the soul. Where then can man boast? He cannot boast in his own. He cannot boast in himself. His boast is in the Lord. He glories in the Lord. Okay. So there's the wisdom of the world versus the wisdom of God. All right. I wanted to read a couple of dictionaries here concerning the term babes, because just looking at our diagram, if we're looking at that which is below, then there are those who are wise according to the wisdom of this world, the wisdom below, and then there are those who are babes. The wise of the world, and then the babes. The babes whose hearts are being turned unto the Lord. The babes whose hearts are being brought unto repentance, turning unto the Lord. And as the heart is turning unto the Lord, now you have the understanding of a son. And yet that one is still considered a babe in contrast to the wisdom of the world. Maybe I need a different diagram. I'm not sure how to... Below there is those who are wise below, those who are prudent below, and there are also babes whose hearts are being brought unto true repentance, unto repentance, turning unto the Lord, who are sons. Yet according to the wisdom of the world, they are babes, they are foolish. Alright, here is this is the New International Dictionary of New Testament Theology. This is the abridged edition. Just for that term, babes, Strong's number 3516. The Greek word is like nepios. The noun nepios denotes an infant, child, or minor. In classical Greek, it also often carries, listen to this, overtones, I love this, of helplessness, inexperience, simplicity, and even foolishness. But I love that. Helplessness. I have not the power in myself. I cannot turn my own heart unto the Lord. I love, we read the proverb earlier, but just thinking about Solomon, the wisest man on the earth, he says this, "Thy servant is but a child, and I know not." Just a true confession, being completely honest with the Lord, concerning that which is above, I know not. Heart turning unto the Lord. In the heart, there is being the heart being brought unto repentance, to turn unto the Lord. I love that. All right, going on with this, it says, Greek philosophers who wanted to communicate true knowledge of the world and the life of reason, that which is found below, the wisdom below, all of that, Greek philosophers, dismissed with biting sarcasm the unperceptive person with no experience of life as nepios, a fool. Foolish in the eyes of the world. Okay? It goes on. Here's the Septuagint. It says it uses nepios to translate five different Hebrew words. And it goes on. In these contexts, the most important characteristic of the nepios are the weakness, helplessness, and submission of the child to the adult. Trusting in another. Leaning upon the strength of another. Forgive me, I'm marking this down so I don't forget it. Can't you hear the Apostle Paul? When I am weak, then he is strong. For when I am weak, then he is strong. For when I am not trusting in my own ability, in my own wisdom, in my own understanding, in my own knowledge, which is the wisdom of man, the knowledge of man, the understanding of man. Once again, the wisdom of man, the knowledge of man, the understanding of man, which is complete darkness and ignorance, then he is strong. When it is not I, but Christ, then I am supported not by mine own understanding, but by the Lord's understanding. Not by mine own wisdom, which is the wisdom below, but by the Lord's wisdom. Not by mine own strength, but by the Lord who is my strength. Do you see the difference? I love this. All right, going on. It also says, the Septuagint also uses nepios in Psalm 19, verses 7, where it denotes the person with a, it says simple faith, but really it's declaring another, and we'll just go ahead and read that real quick. Just kind of show that. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So it's not simple faith. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. It doesn't say making wise those who are wise in their own conceits. Those who are wise in the understanding below, wisdom below. Those who are wise in their own eyes. No. No. Making wise the simple, the nepios. The ones who confess, I don't know. Except your knowing govern my heart, I don't know. I love that. So in once again, in whom is our boast? In the Lord who knows the Son. All right. He also has to look at Psalm 116 and Psalm 119. Who stands under God's protection and pays attention to His instruction, right? This other dictionary here. This is the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament. This is the Kittle, abridged edition for the same term, babes, Strong's number 3516. Nepios in Greek usage. I love this. It may also be used for orphans, denoting their helplessness. Orphans. It may also be used for orphans, denoting their helplessness. I'd have none to take care of me. I have none to care for me. Helpless. Not trying to find my care, my comfort, my help from one below. And you probably already thought of this one psalm. I'll go ahead and read it, which I love. Psalm 68, let's just go ahead and read verses 1 through 6. Let God arise, let His enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate Him flee before Him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to His name. Extol Him that rideth upon the heavens, by His name Yahweh, and rejoice before Him. A father of the fatherless and a judge of widows is God in His holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. The father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows, the ones who have no, who confide in, who lean upon, who cannot lean upon any of that which is found below, the Lord Himself above. Confessing helplessness, confessing ignorance, confessing, I cannot, I know not. Thy servant is but a child, and I know not. Leaning upon that of another, the Lord Himself. I love this. With the same dictionary, the New Testament, Kittle Abridged, it goes on to say, a person is nepios, who is immature in conduct, who shows a foolish confidence in fortune, who does not take account of, I threw this in there, natural reality. It says, who does not take account of reality. Well, I say natural reality, because remember, we're contrasting the wisdom of the world versus one who is foolish in the world, one who is considered a babe concerning that which is of the world. Who does not take account of natural reality, and yet is coming to know the greater reality, Christ Himself. Or who does not heed, I love this, who does not heed the advice of philosophers. Philosophers, philosophy. I think I defined it once. Here's my own definition, I guess. Philosophy is the reasoning whereby man declares whatever he wants to declare, right? Something like that. Forgive me, I totally butchered my own definition. I didn't write it down, obviously, and I didn't memorize it. But philosophy, that's man's wisdom. Great philosophers philosophizing, the great minds of the past. It's all natural wisdom, that which is limited to the natural man, that which is limited to below, that can never attain unto that which is above, that can never come by its own ability, by its own strength, by its own effort unto that which is above. Remember, here's Jesus once again, Matthew 25, or 11:25. He said, they would not repent. They didn't repent, not for all the miracle signs and wonders, not for all the declaring of the gospel, the good news. They would not repent. For all their wisdom and prudence, they would not repent. I thank you, Father. You've hidden this from the wise and prudent of this world, and you have revealed it unto babes, whom you're bringing their hearts unto repentance. I would say that it's very rare to find a philosopher who's born again, if at all, truly born again, because his understanding will not let him stoop in his own mind to such foolishness. That's really what it is. All right, going on. That was A. Here's definition B. Nepios in the Old Testament, still with the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, Kittel, abridged edition. Nepios in the Old Testament. In the Greek Septuagint, nepios is used in Proverbs 23, verse 13. For the young man who is undergoing education. I love that. The learning of Christ. Now, there it says, spare not the rod. That's that verse. But it's in context for the young man who is undergoing education. Learning Christ. The learning of Christ. The one whom is a pupil, a student, and is learning Christ. By the wisdom above being made manifest in the heart. By the understanding, the knowledge above being revealed in the heart. All right. The term expresses the childlike innocence of the wilderness age prior to the apostasy of later times. So the childlike innocence in the wilderness was basically following the Lord. Childlike innocence in following the Lord versus the prior that was prior to the apostasy of latter times when their hearts were not repentant. When they leaned upon their own wisdom, the natural wisdom of the world, the wisdom that is found below. When they leaned upon their own natural understanding, their own natural knowledge, which is found below of the world of man, that cannot allow, that does not permit the heart to turn unto the Lord. The simple are the righteous to whom God gives wisdom and whom he protects and enlightens. I love that. And it gives references to the same passages as earlier, like Psalm 19:7. The simple are the righteous to whom God gives wisdom. The simple. Those who lean not on the understanding below, on their own understanding, on their own wisdom, on their own knowledge, but lean upon another. To these, God gives wisdom. God reveals his wisdom in the person of his Son. Right. Another passage I want us to read, this is out of John Gill's Expositor for Matthew 11, verse 25. And I'll go ahead and end with this. For the passage of the verse, it says, "Because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent." And I'll just go ahead and just read an excerpt out of this paragraph. It says, "The persons who from whom these things were hid are the wise and prudent in things worldly, natural, and civil. Men of great parts and learning, of a large compass of knowledge, having a considerable share of sagacity," like sage being sage, sagenessness, sage, like a wise person, "penetration and wisdom, or at least who were wise and prudent in their own conceits, as were the scribes and Pharisees and the schools of Hillel and Shammai, the two famous doctors of that day. And indeed the people of the Jews in common were so, who thus applaud themselves at the eating of the Passover every year and say," and it has the Hebrew passage in Hebrew, and then it's translated into this right here, "We are all wise, we are all prudent, we all understand the law." The law converts the soul. The testimony of the Lord makes wise the simple. To truly understand the law is to understand that it declares Christ and speaks of Christ. That the heart would listen, come, repent, turn unto the Lord. Remember Jesus? "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they," the scriptures, the law, prophets, in history, the law and the prophets, the whole entirety of the scripture, "they are they that testify of me," says Jesus, "and you will not come to me." You will not repent. Because the understanding, the knowledge, the wisdom, the prudence of man is what is governing the heart concerning the things of God. You're leaning upon your own and not leaning upon that which is above of another. Leaning upon the Lord's wisdom, the Lord's understanding, the Lord's knowledge. Going on. The same is elsewhere said of all Israel and their opinion. They were so, yet the things of the gospel are hidden from them. And now for the still with John Gill's expositor for Matthew 11:25. Now the phrase, and hast revealed them unto babes. Foolish ones, comparatively speaking, who have not those natural parts, learning and knowledge others have, that wisdom and prudence in worldly and civil things, and are so in their own account and in the esteem of the world, and who are as babes, helpless, defenseless, and impotent of themselves, to do or say anything that is spiritually good. That's confessing one's own inability to do or say anything that is spiritually good. I cannot. And are sensible of the same. Now to such souls God reveals the covenant of His grace, Christ, and all the blessings of grace in Him. The mysteries of the gospel and the unseen glories of another world, Christ Himself. The veil of darkness and ignorance is removed from them. Spiritual sight is given them. Their desires are raised after them. Their affections are set on them. Their hearts are impressed with them. They are helped to view their interest in them. The Jews themselves have a notion that in the days of the Messiah, children and babes shall have knowledge of divine things, says Simeon ben Jochai, something like that. It is not the pleasure of God that wisdom should be so revealed to the world, but the pleasure of God is to reveal His Son. Do you remember Paul? But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me. Therein is the pleasure of God. But not, it is not the pleasure of God that wisdom should be so revealed to the world. But when it is near the days of the Messiah, even little children or the babes that are in the world shall find out the hidden things of wisdom. And then it goes on to say, from the day that the temple was destroyed, or here's one of their sayings, and there is more truth in what they own elsewhere than they themselves are aware of when they say that from the days, and this is a quote, from the day that the temple was destroyed, prophecy has been taken away from the prophets and given to fools and babes. One of their sayings. If we are wise by man's wisdom, if we consider ourselves wise by man's wisdom, then we are not considering ourselves, dependent upon another. If we have the thought, I know it, Lord, I know what's going on, I know. Then we are confessing our own knowing, the knowing below, the knowing of man. And we are esteeming ourselves as wise and knowledgeable, having knowledge and understanding in our own eyes. And basically confessing our ignorance or declaring our ignorance unto the Lord. A really good passage, actually several chapters to read, is Job chapter, I think it's like 32 to the end, where Job considered himself wise, a sage, one in whom wisdom was found, he considered also himself as being righteous. And yet for all that, none of that brought his heart unto repentance. The Lord brought his heart unto repentance. And finally, when his heart turns unto the Lord, Job says, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear. I put my hand over my mouth. I abhor myself. And then it says that the Lord blessed Job with length of days. Something like that. I don't want to start looking for it because time's already run out. But don't you love that? He no longer considered that which is below. His heart no longer leaned upon his own understanding, his own wisdom, his own knowledge to assess things, but was supported by him who is above. The wisdom above, the knowledge above, the understanding above, whom Christ himself is. So couple chapters to read, several chapters to read. I read them this morning. They were really good. But just with here, once again, there is the wisdom that is below, the understanding that is below, the knowledge that is below, and then there is the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, the understanding of God, who is Christ. God only reveals his wisdom, God only reveals his knowledge, God only reveals his understanding. Listen, God only reveals Christ, his Son, in the heart that is turned unto him. So, we'll end this class for today, and let us just present everything before the Spirit of God. Everything before the Lord, all our searching, all our reading, all our studies, just present them before the Lord, confessing, though we have read, though we have studied, though we have heard, though we have viewed, though we have listened, though we have understood with natural understanding, with natural knowing, with natural wisdom to some degree, present it all unto the Lord and still confess, I know not, Lord, except you reveal him who is present, I know not, except you reveal your wisdom in my heart, except you reveal your knowledge in my heart, except you reveal your understanding in my heart, except you reveal your Son in my heart, I continue ignorant, not knowing. So I wait upon you, Lord. Just Samuel, after the Lord corrected Samuel, I wait upon you, upon you revealing your seed, your heir, your Son. I wait upon you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's just present all that to the Holy Spirit and that he would just guide and direct our prayers continually. So with that, I'll end. We'll see you in our next class. Lord bless. Amen.